her tremendously. Unless, of course, he'd come to permanently break ties. Either way, Leia had to know, even with the weight of that unsent message hanging over her. "Send him in." As the door swished open, Ty Lin walked in, neither as unruffled as Leia had hoped, nor as indignant as she'd feared.
"Leia, how are you?"
"Rotten, but thanks for asking. You might be the last person in the galaxy who cares." Leia turned her chair away from the holocam, toward the small couch where he'd taken a seat. "Or maybe I've underestimated the Senate. Is anybody out there standing up for me?"
Varish Vikli read out the entire constitutional passage, declaring that no person should have to answer for the crimes of a parent. "I've put forth a motion to the entire party that, regardless of your standing in the Senate, we owe you our respect and loyalty for your individual accomplishments."
Ty Lin paused.
"No one else has had time to summon a response."
Meaning that out of the thousands of senators, exactly two had defended her. That was two more than Leia would have expected. Under the circumstances, both Varish's speech and Ty Lin's visit were acts of great courage. "Thank you," she said. "I appreciate that more than I can say." Ty Lin shook his head sorrowfully.
"You should have told some of us the truth, Leia. Me or Varish, if no one else."
Leia gestured toward the far wall of her office suite, through which the angry rumble of the crowd could still be heard. "I'd think it was obvious why I didn't want to share this news with the whole galaxy."
"I didn't speak of the entire galaxy. I spoke of your closest friends and allies in the Senate."
Ty Lin rarely took people to task, which made the subtle sharpness in his tone hard to bear.
"Even if you felt the need to keep that secret, you should never have allowed us to put you forward as the populist nominee. By doing so, you've robbed us of our credibility. I'm not certain any populist candidate could win now."
She nodded miserably. "You're right. I know you're right. But it had remained secret for so long. I guess I hoped it could stay secret forever."
"For your sake and the galaxy's, I wish it had."
Ty Lin rose to leave, but he briefly rested one broad hand on her shoulder.
"You still have friends, Leia. Remember that."
"Thank you," she whispered. Nothing else Ty Lin could have said could possibly have comforted her more. And yet the terrible wound within her was too vast to be healed even by friendship. Strangely, Leia felt as if she ought to tell Ransom about this. Her brain knew what he had done to her, but her shock-numbed heart continued to call him friend. The person who had betrayed her on the Senate floor seemed like another person entirely from the dashing young man who had come to rescue her on Bastatha. The bridges they'd built between them had collapsed, but she still felt the urge to step out onto the thin air where they had been. But now Leia had no one else to talk to. Her message to Ben would be about comforting him, not finding any consolation of her own. She couldn't even bring herself to record a message for Han. He would still be in the heart of the sublight relay round of the Five Sabers, meaning he was cut off from any possible contact. Han might wind up being the last person in the galaxy to know her secret had been exposed, nor was there any chance he would learn about it from her. And at the moment, she couldn't even bear to speak about it any longer. But she knew that he, too, would suffer blowback from being married to a child of Vader. The door swished open again, and this time Greer stood there, awkwardly holding the wooden keepsake chest in her hands.
"I put in a requisition order, because all of this is legally yours. They handed it over quicker than I'd expected."
Leia hadn't even thought of getting her keepsake chest back again.
"Thank you, Greer. That helps."
Greer set the chest on Leia's desk, then hesitated.
"Can I ask you a question? Just one?"
Would Greer now storm out just like Cor Sela had? Leia braced herself. "Of course."
"Does Captain Solo know? When did he find out?"
"Han's always known.
I told him the day after I learned the truth from Luke. Greer nodded, still wary, but not on the brink of bolting any longer. But now Leia's memories were claiming her again, taking her back to the forest moon of Endor in the aftermath of the tremendous celebration that marked their victory. Han had held her so tenderly as they rested on soft mosses, the scent of cedars and pine all around them. When she'd told him the whole story, she'd been terrified that Han would immediately abandon her. Their romance had been so new then. Only the day before, he had offered to step aside if she wanted Luke instead. Would he be even quicker to leave once he knew she was a part of Darth Vader himself? But Han hadn't flinched once. He had simply rocked her in his arms, giving her what comfort he could. If she could only be in his embrace again now, maybe she would feel as if this were something she could bear. The keepsake chest on her desk seemed to loom larger by the moment. Leia rose to her feet and gently lifted the creaky lid. Although she felt a pang at the sight of her doll and other mementos, she reached for the music box first. Leia opened it and immediately heard the strains of the song. Mirror bright shines the moon. Alderaan had possessed a moon for only one day of its existence. When the Death Star appeared, little children must have looked up in awe, believing the moon from their bedtime lullaby had come to their skies at last. They would have smiled up at it, pointed their tiny fingers, sung the song. Leia squeezed her eyes shut, trying not to imagine it. Those who loved you but are gone. Those who kept you safe and warm. Bail Organa's message restarted from the beginning. Leia walked to the nearest sofa, sinking down onto it to hear him explain everything again. At times, she'd wondered how her father could keep such a secret from her. It helped to know that he had always intended to give her the truth. His initial words had been played in the Senate, so Leia concentrated on the loving tone of his voice and the simple comfort of hearing her father speak once more. But soon they reached the end of the message, words Ransom Casterfo had not shared with the rest of the Senate.
I hope to have told you all this myself,
Bail Organa's voice said.
I hope we have enjoyed many more happy years as a family, that we have seen the Empire fall, and that we have gone forth together to find General Kenobi and your brother. If so, this recording can serve only one purpose. You must be listening after my death, so let this be my chance to say once again how much I love you. No other daughter could ever have brought me more joy.
Tears welled in Leia's eyes, but she fought them back. If she began to sob, she wouldn't be able to hear her father's voice any longer. He concluded,
Please know that my love for you and your mother's love endures long past our deaths. We are forever with you, Leia. In your brightest triumphs and your darkest troubles, always know that we are by your side.
She could resist no more. At long last, Leia put her head down on her desk and allowed herself to weep. Chapter 24. One day after Princess Leia's parentage had been revealed on the Senate floor, Joff Seastriker and Greer Sonnel sat inside the Mirror Bright waiting for her. Neither of them made eye contact with the other, and for a long time no one spoke. Finally, Joff said,
I don't know about this.
Greer turned her head toward him, a lock of black hair falling over her shoulder.
You don't trust her anymore? Because she turns out to be Darth Vader's daughter?
It feels weird.
Joff had heard the nightmarish stories of Vader's evil deeds his whole life. Yeah, he'd known Darth Vader had really existed. He wasn't stupid. But to Joff, Vader had seemed almost like some folktale creature from stories told to frighten little children so they wouldn't run away from home. He could hardly wrap his mind around the idea of Vader as a man like any other, who must have once fallen in love and fathered twin children. Then again,
the story could be far darker.
Do you think Darth Vader assaulted Queen Amidala?
He ventured. I thought of that last night, Greer said heavily. But no. I've helped the Senator research Queen Amidala, so I plugged in some of the data last night. The Queen died before the first records of Vader ever appear.
So a man named Anakin Skywalker had become a Jedi Knight, fought courageously in the Clone Wars, and won the love of a Senator Queen, and had still chosen to become a monster. Joff shuddered. Greer murmured almost to herself.
Captain Solo always knew. He knew, and he married her anyway. If he didn't turn his back on her, we shouldn't either.
Although Joff hadn't met Han Solo, much less actually been mentored by him the way Greer had been, he'd hero-worshipped the guy from afar. So did virtually any other pilot who loved racing. But Solo's trust in his wife didn't reassure Joff as much as it did Greer. Anybody who'd watched Han Solo fly a race knew the man loved taking risks. Big risks. Crazy risks. The kind of chances that got other people killed. The Mirror Bright's door remained open to the hangar, so Joff and Greer could hear the faint crackle of a welding torch and the chatter of nearby pilots and mechanics. He paid the noise no attention until suddenly, as if on a well-rehearsed cue, it all fell silent. Princess Leia must have just arrived. He and Greer exchanged glances before getting to their feet. Joff went into standard at-ease posture, hands behind his back, heart thumping as if the footsteps on the gangway were those of Darth Vader himself. But then Princess Leia entered the Mirror Bright. Her pallor shocked him. Overnight, Leia's skin seemed to have turned as pale as the white jacket and trousers she wore. Joff noticed, as he had not before, how much gray had threaded its way through her brown hair and the fine lines at the corners of her mouth and eyes. It was not that she looked older, but the powerful vitality that had always been a part of her seemed to have drained away overnight. He wondered if she'd been able to sleep at all. Probably not. Answer suffering with kindness. That was what his mother's always said, one of the tenets people on Gatalenta tried to live by. Joff had always found the saying trite, when he'd bothered thinking about it at all. But that was his first instinct now, not to shun Princess Leia, but to help and protect her.
Lieutenant Seastriker.
The princess's voice sounded thick and rough, as if she had a cold.
Greer, thank you for coming today. I realize it can't have been easy.
It's a pretty quick trip from the barracks.
Joff kept his tone light. They all knew the terrible truth that hung over them like a storm cloud, but he figured acknowledging it would just drag everybody down.
Made it here even faster than usual. No big deal. I mean, no big deal, ma'am.
The ghost of a smile passed over Princess Leia's face.
All right, then.
Greer said,
We're ready to do whatever you need done, Your Highness. If you're planning on leaving Hosnian Prime, maybe traveling to rendezvous with Captain Solo in the Theron system, just say the word.
Same here.
But Joff wondered whether that was a promise he could keep. He'd been assigned to Princess Leia's detail by his superior officers. Would they belay those orders now? Princess Leia shook her head. We're not going anywhere until our voyage to Sibensko, which, as far as I'm concerned, is still on. I called you both here today simply to make sure you both remain willing to take on the mission.
Of course I am, Your Highness, but...
Greer paused, gaze drifting to the floor for a moment before she looked back up at Princess Leia.
Are you sure you can take this on? The fallout from all this... Forgive me, but it has to take a toll. Maybe this isn't the time.
Rin Riven Dai is moving large amounts of spice and larger amounts of money around the galaxy, funneling it to centrist worlds, Princess Leia replied. Some of the light had returned to her eyes. A paramilitary organization has begun arming and preparing itself for war, and may already be responsible for a terrorist attack on the Galactic Senate.
What's happening to me personally doesn't matter. We have to act now. If it's not the ideal time, well, it's the only time we've got.
Yes, ma'am.
Greer straightened, her uncertainty gone.
The Mirror Bright will be ready to go as soon as you say the word.
Joff added,
and so will we.
I always thought I could count on you two, but it means a lot knowing that for sure. Princess Leia's voice sounded like her own again. Joff wondered if this was the quality that had won the loyalty of her troops during the war against the Empire. Her ability to press on even in the face of disaster. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some unfinished business to take care of. With that, she walked out. Once again, silence followed in her wake, but Joff paid it no attention. He and Greer were sticking with the princess, and he intended to make sure that was enough.
So what do you think she means by unfinished business?
He said to Greer. Shaking her head, Greer replied,
I wouldn't want to be Ransom Casterfo right now.
Calling the meeting had been the right move for Princess Leia. Greer knew that. After the princess had sent that message to her son yesterday, the Force alone knew what she'd said, but her red-rimmed eyes testified to the tears she'd shed. No wonder she'd needed to realize she wasn't completely alone. And it was good for Greer, too, to discover that Joff Seastriker would come through for them. Beneath his youth and his daredevil attitude lay the kind of decency that could stand up to the ugliness of the world. On Pamarth, they called that quality bedrock. A warrior of bedrock was one on whose loyalty a kingdom could be built. Yet Greer had spent the meeting only half concentrating on the incredibly important things happening around her. It took so much of her will to remain still and steady on her feet. As soon as Joff left the Mirror Bright, Greer slumped onto the long padded bench. She lay on her side, feet still brushing the floor, cheek pressed against the cushions as she struggled to even out her breath. She couldn't inject again. Not so soon. Dr. Colonia had warned her about relying on the stuff too much, and Greer knew where dependency led. But how else was she supposed to keep going? The princess's words still rang in Greer's memory. What's happening to me personally doesn't matter. If it's not the ideal time, well, it's the only time we've got.
All right, she said to herself. Once more.
Pushing herself to an upright position, she waited for the rush of dizziness to subside, then got to her feet. Although a few of the pilots watched her walking out of the hangar, clearly eager to discuss what she'd known about Princess Leia and when, Greer ignored them all. Luckily, a wheeled transport making its way through the complex turned out to be headed in the general direction of the medbay, so she could catch a ride most of the way there. She walked in to find the place deserted, no patients, and Dr. Colonia taking her break. Good. The 2-1B medical droid turned its half-blue, half-transparent torso toward her.
May I assist you with your illness or injury?
Yes, you can.
Greer eased herself onto one of the beds.
I need another dose of Hedera serum.
The 2-1B remained stationary, its circuits whirring in consideration.
Your use of Hedera serum already exceeds suggested limits.
But I'm not in danger of an overdose, am I? That means you're able to give me the medication.
She rolled up the sleeve of her coverall, exposing the tender crook of her arm and the barely visible latticework of veins just beneath her coppery skin.
I can administer the serum, but I am required to remind you that you are now considered high risk for Hedera toxicity.
I know,
Greer sighed.
Believe me, it's impossible to forget.
Sometimes at night, the muscles in her legs would spasm painfully, leaving her to swear as she rocked back and forth on her mattress. The day before, when the stress of Casterfo's explosive revelation had rocked them all, Greer's pulse had quickened far past human norms, pounding so hard she could see it through the fabric of her shirt. If she went over the line that separated dependency from toxicity, those symptoms would stop being occasional nuisances and turn into her constant state of being. But if that was the price of going on, of remaining by Princess Leia's side for the duration of the mission, then Greer would pay it. To the undoubted consternation of most members of the Senate, not to mention the public at large, Ransom Casterfo had refused to give any interviews or take any meetings to discuss the revelations about Leia Organa. He had instead busied himself with the other work of a senator. He found it easier to concentrate on that sort of thing, reading up on the proposed new water purification systems for New Republic ships, or doing research for the upcoming debates over shipping lane restrictions. When calls came in from Lady Carice Sindian, the senior senator from Coruscant, or other high-level officials, Ransom simply requested that they all leave messages for later. He did not intend to answer any of these messages for several days. His staffers kept asking him about each one, however, their consternation obvious. After a while, Ransom could stand their presence no more, and gave them the rest of the day off. The droid could handle what little administrative work had to be done, and he preferred to spend the day alone. Everybody wanted him to expound on his role in bringing down Princess Leia. They wanted him to step up, take credit, and emerge as the centrist leader he had long dreamed of being. Even a few short months ago, he would have been unable to imagine passing up such a golden opportunity for advancement. But he had not exposed Leia's parentage for his own personal gain. Exploiting the situation now would cheapen his actions. "I acted in the interest of the truth," he told himself, as he kept staring at the purification system schematics, his brain refusing to make sense of the tangle of pipes and filters. It would be a long time before anyone else believed that his motives had been pure, if they ever believed it at all. But he clung to the knowledge within his own heart, as if it were the only thing keeping him afloat in a stormy sea. By lunchtime, he'd centered himself enough to concentrate on the work in front of him. He sent the droid out to fetch some Ivaru Jari food that could be eaten at his desk, and was determinedly working out the manufacturing specs for the pipes when he heard the door chime, then open without any cue from Ransom himself. And he knew, just knew, who the next visitor had to be. Ransom took a deep breath and got to his feet just before Princess Leia stormed in. "What, all alone? Except for your creepy Imperial mausoleum, I mean." Leia gestured at the artifacts around her. "I would have thought you'd be throwing the party of the century, celebrating your success. You pretended to be my friend and then betrayed me to the entire galaxy. A political masterstroke. So where's the wine?" "Pretending? You accuse me of pretending?" The horror and nausea Ransom had struggled against since hearing the news vanished in an instant, replaced by pure rage. "You, who hid your true identity from everyone for decades? This is my true identity. The person I've been all this time, the battles I've fought, the work I've done, that's who I am. My birth father has nothing to do with any of that. How can we be certain? How can we trust anything you say from now on?" Ransom had lain awake all night, running through the various ways their understanding of history might be altered through this one critical fact. The Empire found rebel bases time and time again. The Battle of Endor was nearly lost because it was all an elaborate trap. Could it be that they had a highly placed source inside the Rebel Alliance? A daughter who would obey her father? Leia's eyes widened, and for one instant Ransom thought she might hit him. "You're accusing me of being a spy? Did you forget the parts where I nearly died along with the rest of the rebellion during those battles? If so, you're dumber than I thought." "Yes, you must have thought I was a fool." The words tasted bitter in Ransom's mouth. "Because I trusted you so quickly. Because I told you the most personal and painful stories of my life, never guessing that they revolved around your father." "Only my birth father," she insisted. "My real father? The only father I ever knew or wanted was Bail Organa of Alderaan." What could Organa have been thinking, taking in the offspring of someone so corrupt and monstrous? Ransom had wondered about that too, but knew he would never be able to fathom the answer.
Well, Bail Organa himself thought the connection mattered, didn't he?
That was a message recorded out of love! Leia's voice broke, but only for a moment. Anger had eclipsed almost everything else inside her.
And you used it against me! How could you? We were friends, or I thought we were. When you found out, however you found out, did it never occur to you to come to me? To ask me about it personally? Why? So you could lie to me yet again!
Ransom again felt the pent-up, useless fury of the child he'd been, watching Darth Vader reach out with his hand to strangle the life from another helpless prisoner.
You knew how I hated Vader! You knew what he had done to me! How could you still keep your secret knowing that?
Leia shook her head in disbelief.
What Vader did to you? Do you think that can even begin to compare with what Vader did to me? He made me watch my planet die. He froze Han in carbonite and sold him to Jabba the Hutt. He cut off my brother's hand and nearly took his life. And he tortured me, Ransom. He tortured me until I screamed and shook and thought I would die just from the pain alone. Did you bother to ask yourself how it might feel to realize the person who'd done all that to you was your father? Can you imagine how terrible it is to realize all you'll ever know of your birth father is how much he enjoyed making you suffer? That's what I have to live with.
Ransom had assumed Leia had lied about not only her relationship to Darth Vader, but also her feelings about the man. It shocked him to see that her anger was real.
It's all the more reason you should have told me. I hadn't even told my son. Now he has to find out in the most horrible, public way imaginable, all because of you.
Leia's hands were clenched in fists at her sides.
Obviously, I overestimated our friendship. But you owed it to me to come to me with this information first. Even if you still felt you had to shout it out to the entire galaxy, you could have talked to me privately first. Given me a chance to speak with my son. Not even out of friendship, just out of common decency. But I guess you didn't think I even deserved that. You had your chances to speak to your son, Ransom insisted. He's not a child any longer, is he? You could have told him at any point before this. Do you think you'd ever have had the courage to tell the truth?
What I kept from Ben, I did for his own good, or what I hoped was his own good.
Now we'll never know. But what you did to me, you did for your own benefit. Well, congratulations, Senator Casterfo. May you enjoy all the power you bought by betraying me. And keep on condemning me as the heir of the Empire while you sit in here surrounded by all of this.
Leia grabbed the Royal Guard helmet from the wall and hurled it toward the nearest display case. The glass shattered with a crash, slivers and splinters scattering all around.
Goodbye, Casterfo. May you get absolutely everything in life that you deserve.
She turned and marched out, shoulder colliding with the droid that had returned in the middle of all this and stood mutely just outside the doorway of Ransom's office. The impact sent the lunch carton tumbling from the droid's hands, spattering noodles onto the carpet. Leia never even paused. A moment later, the door swished again, and he knew she was gone.
Senator Casterfo, are you unharmed?
The droid tilted its head.
I'm fine,
Ransom answered, the words no more than automatic. His empty stomach churned. The smell of the food on the floor now sickened him.
Cleaning and repair crews can be summoned. If Senator Organa caused the damage, she can be reported for assault upon the property and person of a senator.
No, don't do that. No reporting her, no repair crews, nothing. I'll handle this. More than anything, Ransom wanted to be alone, to process everything he'd heard in the past several minutes. The droid hesitated, obviously unable to understand why a human would refuse necessary services, then rolled back to begin cleaning up the spilled food. It went far enough away for the door to slide shut and seal Ransom inside again. For a few breaths, he simply stood there, shaking from pent-up adrenaline. Then, nearly numb, he got to his knees to begin picking up the shattered glass. He misjudged an edge, however. A hot sliver of pain sliced across his skin. Ransom put his thumb to his mouth and tasted blood. Chapter 25. The moderator droid's words rang out through the vast chamber.
The Senate recognizes Senator Leia Organa.
Leia stood, aware of the spotlight heat as she hadn't been in years. Yesterday's applause lingered only in memory. Now her fellow senators greeted her with stony silence, except for a few faint hisses from the back. She gave no sign she'd heard them, or that the thousands of faces staring at her showed only disgust and disbelief. This might be the last time she ever addressed the Galactic Senate. For her family's sake, she had to make the most of it. I come before you today to withdraw my nomination for First Senator. Someone in the far distance laughed disdainfully, but Leia paid it no heed. That's simple to accomplish. Merely by speaking the words before you all, I've already ended my candidacy. But I would be doing the Galactic Senate a disservice if I did not take this opportunity to discuss yesterday's revelations about my birth father. The citizens of the New Republic have the right to hear exactly what I knew and when I knew it. No one stirred. Even the most hostile listener would want to learn every detail. Leia might not have their support any longer, but at least she had their attention. It has always been known that I was adopted by Bail and Breha Organa of the Royal House of Alderaan. I was described as a war orphan, a story I myself believed until adulthood. As you heard yesterday, Bail Organa had not shared the truth with me when I was younger, and sadly, the Empire's destruction of our world meant he never had the chance to speak of it later. My brother, the Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker, was the first to learn that we were twins, and that our father was the man who later became known as Darth Vader. Vader's name seemed to darken the room. He told me on the day preceding the Battle of Endor. As you can imagine, I was shocked, horrified. I had never guessed that the truth behind my birth could be so tragic, or that my birth father could be a man I had such strong personal reasons to hate. My efforts to accept this lasted a long time. In a very real sense, I still struggle with this knowledge, and I expect that I always will. Whenever she'd talked with Luke about their birth father, this was the part where he'd refused to use the name Darth Vader. He was Anakin Skywalker when he fell in love with our mother, Luke would say, taking her hand gently in his. And he became Anakin Skywalker again in the last hour of his life. He came back from the dark side, Leia. They said it could never be done, but our father did it. He made that journey because of his love for us. Leia believed Luke. She could feel that truth within him. But it was difficult for her to find solace in this the way Luke did. How could Vader torture her without mercy if he had that good inside? He'd still had the power to make the right choice, but had instead forced her to suffer. The Senate, of course, would not be open to hearing that Darth Vader hadn't been so evil before he died. Even introducing the topic would turn her into an apologist, and probably get her thrown out of the building. Leia had to stick to the truths that would help her and her family the most. As many have known for a long time, and as you heard on the recording yesterday, my birth mother was also well known. Hadme Amidala Naberi served the planet of Naboo, first as queen, then as senator. She was among the few who stood up to Palpatine during his rise to power, one of the only people who warned against the evils to come. Leia thought of the hollows she'd seen of a delicate young woman in the ornate regalia of the Naboo throne. They shared the same eyes. She continued, "My mother is every bit as much a part of me as my father. Her courage in her own political career has always informed my own role as a senator. And as for my father, I can think of no more powerful example of the dangers of ultimate power. That is why I have always identified as a populist, why I have always warned against the concentration of political authority, and even why I agreed to run for first senator, to keep such authority from ever being so poisonously misused again. People were listening to her now. Really listening. Leia knew she hadn't won back their loyalty, but she thought they recognized her honesty. Hopefully when Ben heard this someday, he would understand too. She began to breathe a little easier. For now, at least, the worst seemed to be over. Then the moderator droid said,
"The floor recognizes Lady Paris Syndian."
Screens and spotlights shifted to reveal Lady Caris, overdressed as usual in glittering blue. She gestured upward, as if towards space and the great galaxy beyond.
"On behalf of my fellow senators, I first wish to say that I appreciate Princess Leia's honesty, however late it was in coming. Yet something in her speech today has given rise to other, potentially more dangerous concerns. Princess Leia spoke of her brother, the famous Luke Skywalker, who has been little seen in the public sphere for many years now. Perhaps Her Highness learned virtues from her father's example, but can we say the same for her brother? If he uses his rumored strength in the Force for evil, how could we ever defend against him?"
Leia had been prepared for boos, for insults, even for rocks or rotten fruit to be thrown at her. Whatever attacks they could aim at her, she could take. But she couldn't bear hearing them turn on Luke.
"How dare you question him?"
Leia knew her voice sounded too sharp, too shrill, but her temper had gotten the best of her.
"After everything Luke's done for the Rebellion and the New Republic? Maybe Lady Caris has forgotten that he was the one who destroyed the first Death Star, or that he was responsible for ridding the galaxy of Palpatine."
"So Skywalker claims,"
Lady Caris put on her cocktail party smile.
"But we have only ever had his word for what happened on the second Death Star. And if his word is worth no more than yours has been these past several decades, well, Your Highness, we hardly know what to believe."
Murmurs began, welling louder by the second. Leia felt her breath catch in her throat. "No. No, not this. Don't let them drag Luke down, too."
"The floor recognizes Ty Lin Gar," said the moderator droid.
Ty Lin's mere attention calmed the room. Sometimes Leia thought he would be able to turn a cyclone into a breeze. His scarlet robe looked like a badge of office, and he was the only one that day, Leia thought, who seemed to be above the political fray.
"I would first say to the Honorable Senator Syndian of Arcanis that we have no reason to question Luke Skywalker."
Ty Lin let his grave tone rather than his words condemn Lady Carissa's insinuations.
"Since the Rebellion, Skywalker has lived a private life. He has asked no more of the New Republic than any of its other citizens, nor have we just cause to ask more of him than the substantial service he has already given. As Senator Vickley of Lornera reminded us yesterday, the New Republic does not blame children for the sins of their parents, and this is no time to begin."
Leia took a deep breath, regaining her control. Luke couldn't escape unscathed from this. No one in her family could. But at least Ty Lin would keep a senatorial inquisition from getting started. Ty Lin continued,
"On behalf of the populist faction, we accept Senator Leia Organa's withdrawal of her candidacy. But I wish to state that Senator Organa's exemplary record remains unsullied, and that she retains my personal friendship and political support."
Still no applause, not even from the other populists, but Leia could feel the tension in the room diminishing. Undoubtedly, she would remain persona non grata for the duration of her term, and there could be no question of running again now. But her speech and Ty Lin's had dulled the edge of the Senate's anger. Instead of being hated, Leia would be ignored. She supposed that eventually she would feel grateful for that. It could have been worse. The moderator droid said,
"One piece of business regarding Senator Organa remains on the schedule of events, namely the approval of her brief leave of absence from her duties."
Leia had put in the request weeks earlier in order to cover her mission to Cybensko. The mission that exceeded her senatorial authority and went to the verge of being illegal. The mission Ransom Casterfo knew everything about. She'd avoided looking at him all day, but she did so now. Ransom sat in his place, wearing a green cloak that clashed badly with his blue shirt and trousers. His complexion was so wan he might have been a figure carved of wax. He wasn't watching his monitors, the moderator droid, or Leia herself. It seemed as if he were staring into space. One of the centrist senators jumped at his chance for attention.
"I see this little vacation was requested before any of the latest unpleasantness, but I wish to be the first to say that this absence could not come at a more opportune time."
Other voices rose up, people falling all over themselves to say Leia should leave, though her few defenders framed it as necessary recovery time, while most senators seemed to feel they needed to recover from ever having been near her. She paid no attention to any of it, focusing only on Ransom. "He said he'd put in for an emergency leave after mine was approved. That way we'd avoid suspicion. But now he's in the clear. He can call me out, maybe have me ejected from the Senate completely, and I don't have one bit of proof that he planned this mission along with me." Leia could have cursed aloud. Now, on top of everything else, Rinriven Dai, Arlys Hadrasian, and the Amaxine warriors were going to get away with it all. But Ransom said nothing. He never showed the slightest sign of acknowledging the debate. His eyes never focused on Leia for an instant. She realized what that probably meant, but didn't fully believe it until her leave was approved and the Senate moved on to other subjects. Ransom intended to let her go. That evening, as they all congregated in the Mirror Bright again, Greer said,
"Casterfo could just be setting us up, waiting until he can send New Republic troops to catch us in the act."
"It's a possibility," Princess Leia admitted. She sat in one of the chairs, as informal as Greer had ever seen her, facing the wrong way, folded arms atop the chair's back, legs on either side. Essentially, the princess looked like somebody who no longer gave a...
"Can he even do that?" Joff asked. "Casterfo couldn't report on us without admitting he had advanced knowledge of our trip. Since he didn't turn us in right away, that makes him an accessory or something, right?"
"A smart politician could find a way around that, and he's not dumb." Princess Leia's gaze had turned inward in a way that meant she was considering every possibility. "But my instincts tell me that he'll stay quiet. If he were going to blow the mission, he would have done it right away."
"But you can't be sure."
Greer felt profoundly ill at ease, even queasy. She hated the idea of being at Ransom Casterfo's mercy. Princess Leia shook her head. "No, we can't. We just have to try it and see. So let's stop worrying about the not-so-honorable senator from Ryosa and start working out our strategy." Greer nodded.
"Well, the plan's pretty basic. Joff and I dress the way we did on the Chrome Citadel, take our junker ship to Cybensko. Probably the most believable reason for you to be aboard is if you're traveling as an indentured servant, booking the cheapest possible passage on some errand for your boss."
"I can do that." Princess Leia obviously didn't mind traveling incognita for a while. "And 3PO?
"We're bringing 3PO? Joff said in quiet dismay.
That won him a sharp look from the princess. "We'll want to slice into the central computer core. That's not 3PO's specialty, but his programming is more than adequate for the task. There are other droids we could bring, but I'd rather stick with the one I know and trust." Resigned, Joff said,
"Okay, but even as old as he is, 3PO looks too nice for pilots as broke as we're supposed to be."
Privately, Greer doubted this. C-3PO had been antiquated for decades now. But it wasn't a point worth arguing.
Maybe he can be traveling with the indentured servant, helping her perform whatever task her boss requires and keeping tabs on her, too.
I guess we could grub him up a little.
Joff began to warm to the idea.
Add some dust, a few dings here and there. That would help, right?
It's a good plan, Princess Leia said. And you know 3PO's just going to love getting dirty. Greer laughed at the thought of C-3PO's dismay, but even that small motion of her head made her slightly woozy. Her last dose had hit her hard, she realized. Usually it was smarter to take a break for the rest of the day after a serum treatment, but she had work to do.
Once we get there, we broadcast the access codes we received when we took the job. That should get us into Cybensko, and we'll have to play it by ear from there.
Oh, hey, I forgot to mention. We got a new data packet from the Ryloth satellites today.
Joff looked sheepish at not having shared the news earlier, but Greer figured they'd all been distracted by Princess Leia's predicament.
Turns out Rinriven Dai's paying one of his visits to Cybensko right now. So is that good news for us, or bad?
Bad if he recognizes us. Good if he doesn't. Princess Leia rose to her feet.
Which gives us all more reasons to work on our disguises. Whatever you need, make sure you've got it by 0600 hours tomorrow. Understood?
Absolutely, Greer said.
Already the doubts she'd briefly harbored about Princess Leia seemed far away and nonsensical.
We're ready.
Princess Leia nodded and headed out of the ship. Joff grabbed a nearby data pad, eagerly searching for something.
Remember how the princess told us about the time she disguised herself as a bounty hunter? I'm going for the same kind of thing. Same species, even.
Should work.
Greer had acquired her armor days ago. She got up to leave, and the entire world spun and swayed, then went black as it vanished entirely. Joff had dived toward Greer so quickly that he'd been able to break her fall to the floor. Instantly, he cradled her head in one hand as he reached for his comlink with the other.
Medbay, emergency! We need medical assistance on the Mirabrite in the main hangar. Registry number 22061270. Repeat, we need a medic here immediately!
No,
Greer whispered. Her faint had lasted only a few seconds.
It's okay.
Like hell it is! You nearly smashed your face into the floor, you know that?
Joff hooked his free arm under her knees, propping them up slightly so more blood would flow to her head.
Maybe it's not a big deal, but you have to get that checked out.
Greer shook her head.
Wrong on both counts, Sea Striker.
On the gangway came the thump of footsteps. Joff turned to see Dr. Harder Colonia, medkit in hand, wearing an expression so gentle it belied her words.
Ms. Sonnel, how many times must we review the proper procedures for a Hedera serum treatment?
At least once more,
Greer said wearily. Dr. Colonia raised one of her angular eyebrows.
And will you finally listen to me then?
Probably not.
Greer tried to smile. The doctor tisked as she knelt by Greer's side. She wasn't rushing to begin treatment. Joff realized Dr. Colonia agreed with Greer about this not being an emergency.
You've been sneaking around to see my 2-1B when I'm away, haven't you?
I thought so.
I see I shall have to ask maintenance to install a restraining bolt. In the meantime, we need to run a blood scan to ensure nothing more serious happened because of your dosage.
Greer pushed up her sleeve, and Joff saw an array of small scars all along her veins.
Sure.
Joff backed up to let the doctor do her work. As soon as possible, he reached for the data pad, removing the image of the Ubi's bounty hunter and searching for information on Hedera serum. Instantly, the answer popped up, and as the light from the screen played across his face, Joff felt the shock hit him as surely as a blow.
Well,
Greer said. She lay on the floor looking over at him, paying no attention to Dr. Colonia's ministrations.
Now you know.
Greer? You have blood burn?
diagnosed 3 years ago. So you finally found out why I quit racing.
Bloodburn was a syndrome that sometimes befell space travelers, particularly those who had begun extra-orbital flights young, as Greer had. Nobody knew precisely what caused it, but bloodburn remained rare enough that people didn't let it stop them from flying. Every space traveler knew it could happen, though. One day your own blood could turn on you and begin the long, slow process of stoking fevers higher and higher until finally your brain was fried and you were gone. Hedera serum treated bloodburn. It didn't cure it. No cure had ever been found.
There now. It's not so bad.
Dr. Colonia spoke more softly now. It occurred to Joff that the doctor had to have been keeping this secret too, because Greer probably wouldn't even be allowed to fly the Mirror Bright on official missions if the higher-ups knew. Bloodburn got you kicked out of starfighter duty for sure.
You need hydration and rest, Ms. Sonnel. Will you at least try to do that much?
When Greer nodded, the doctor glanced over at Joff, then got to her feet.
If I see you out and about tomorrow, young lady, I'll have to report you.
If you see me, Greer added.
This seemed to be a standing joke between them, because Dr. Colonia smiled slyly.
I'm rather good at not seeing things I'm not supposed to see, aren't I?
With that, she tucked her med kit under one arm and walked off the Mirror Bright.
Joff couldn't wrap his mind around it. Greer, who flew and fought like a champion racer when she got the chance. Greer was dying.
They say it helps if you avoid physical stress.
Greer stared up at the ceiling.
So I quit racing. Gave up visiting home, even when I missed it so much I hurt. Because if I couldn't live like a warrior of Pomarth any longer, what was the point? Captain Solo felt so bad when I got the news that he asked Princess Leia if she had work for me here on Hosnian Prime. That's why she took me on.
Oh.
Joff felt too numbed to come up with any coherent answer. Greer continued,
being her chief of staff and flying the Mirror Bright once in a while, that I can handle. I could live an almost normal lifespan if I stick to an office job and a regular schedule. If I eat right and exercise ever so gently. But you might have noticed that things have gotten a little livelier around here lately.
That's why Princess Leia always wants you to stay behind with the ship.
Puzzle pieces Joff hadn't even recognized before began to lock together, revealing the whole picture.
That's why she gives you a chance to back out every time.
I tell her I know my limits.
Greer's expression turned rueful.
She believes me. And don't you tell her anything different.
Greer, come on.
Joff sat on the floor next to her.
This mission is about 10 times more dangerous for you than it is for the rest of us.
I can take it. I'll be staying behind with the ship, remember?
And what if you collapse in the middle of everything? What happens then?
Joff could think of another dozen objections, but he couldn't bring himself to argue with Greer while she lay there, still weak.
Still dying. You'll get some sleep, right?
Joff tried to remember everything Dr. Colonia had said.
And you need, hydration. We'll just get you to your quarters, let you nap and drink as much water as you can.
I will. I promise. After all, I've got to be in shape for my big day tomorrow.
Greer slowly sat up. Joff couldn't look her in the eyes. He braced his arms against his knees and bit his lip. But he didn't fool Greer.
Oh, Joff. Don't.
I can't help it.
Crying openly was considered a virtue on Gatalenta, proof of a caring heart. Joff had learned the rest of the galaxy tended to prefer it when people tried to hold it together, and he'd gotten pretty good at that, but he had his limits too.
It's just, you know, you're great, and this shouldn't be happening. It's not fair.
Her expression crumpled.
You know, thank you for saying that. Nobody's ever said it before, but it's not fair. It's not.
Joff wasn't sure which one of them hugged the other first, but they hung on for so long it didn't matter. Just when he thought he might completely lose his composure, Greer let go, stepped back, and Mock punched his shoulder.
That's the last time you ever feel sorry for me. Ever.
Her smile wavered, but her voice got stronger with each word.
Got it?
Pity would kill Greer faster than any disease or serum toxicity. It was the one pain he could protect her from.
Got it.
The next morning, Leia stood in front of the holocam in her apartment. She wore a simple black coverall. There would be time to change into the rest of her ragged disguise after she was aboard the Junker, where nobody on Hosnian Prime could see her. Through the windows, she saw a night sky only just beginning to be brightened by dawn. She took a deep breath and began. Han, it's me. By the time you receive this, I'll have left Hosnian Prime for what the rest of the world thinks is my hiding away to contemplate my disgrace. Leia could be wry about it now. She'd poured her heart out in a more heartfelt message yesterday, one so grief-stricken she had hesitated before sending it even to her husband. But if she couldn't have Han with her to help her through it, at least she could tell him how she felt. And that meant she could focus on other things this morning. I'm not going on any sabbatical. What the rest of the Senate doesn't know is that I'm traveling to Cybensko as part of the project you and I already discussed. Cybensko can be a dangerous place, I know, but don't worry. I'm not going alone, and I know what I'm doing. Over and over, Leia spoke into the void, not knowing when or if the people she loved most would hear her. She knew why it had to be this way, but never before had her separations from Han, Ben, and Luke been more difficult to bear. Only once in her life had she felt so lonely, without her father or her fellow rebellion officers or Mon Mothma or these three men she loved so dearly to support her. That had been on the Death Star in the wake of Alderaan's destruction. Luke and Han had saved her then. Now she would have to stand alone. Leia smiled into the holocam, trying to envision her husband's face. If the mission to Cybensko went wrong, her next words might be the last Han would ever hear her say. The first time she'd had to ask herself what to do in this situation had been at Cloud City, and she said the same thing now as she had then. I love you. Then she snapped off the holocam, slung her bag over one shoulder, and walked out of her apartments into danger. How was it that danger felt more like home? Chapter 26. The Junker ship came in low over Cybensko's southern axis. Stretching out in every direction, as far as the eye could see, was nothing but dark, choppy water.
Are we completely certain these are the correct coordinates?
C-3PO had become peeved as soon as they'd dirtied him up, and it amused Leia that his mood had only worsened since then.
Rin Rivendai and his associates are rather low sorts of people. Exactly the type to send us in the wrong direction altogether.
They may be lowlifes, Leia replied, but they're lowlifes who want a job done. This has to be the place. Ready, Greer? Greer wore full Mandalorian armor in gray and black. The helmet hung on a hook in the back, awaiting her departure from the ship.
Sending the codes now.
Joff's voice sounded high-pitched and metallic within the Ubis bounty hunter's mask.
So how do you let someone into an underwater city?
Leia pulled her ragged cloak more tightly around her. Let's hope we're about to find out. The comm unit on the main console erupted into static, through which a low voice said,
Codes confirmed. Prepare to land.
How are we supposed to land without land?
Joff muttered. As he spoke, however, the waters churned. From the depths emerged a broad, circular platform ringed by red stripes. Greer swiftly brought the ship around, swooping in and landing with such lightness that Leia hardly felt the runners make impact. The moment they touched down, The red stripes at the platform's circumference glowed brightly, and the air around them took on the strange, iridescent sheen of a force field. Then the platform sank under the seas again, and the force field kept the water at bay. Within moments, they were plunging into depths almost untouched by sunlight above. In the murky ocean, Leia caught glimpses of movement. Enormous sea creatures, unbothered by the activity on Zybensko, or used to it.